Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning, open up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 7, Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter 7 is just where we're going to start off at, give you a little reminder of what we talked about last week. We've been talking for the last few weeks about pursuing after God, and we started off by explaining what God's heart is for us and how we can have a better relationship for Him. We talked about how the psalmist talks about longing after God, thirsting after God, and having desire to just know Him better. And then that Sunday night, we talked about pursuing after God with our whole heart, being willing to count things but loss. This past Sunday morning, we talked about what stops us from pursuing after God. And we talked about the flesh, and that's why I just want to remind you of a verse or two as we get ready to deal with the flesh this morning and talk a little bit about the things that war against us and how we can have victory. The title of this morning's message is Mortifying Your Flesh. Mortifying your flesh. You say, Pastor, that's not a word you hear very often. In today's culture, probably the only time you hear the word mortify is when you're really, really embarrassed. You ever had a story told about you and says, I was just mortified. I wish I could die. I wish I could just crawl underneath a rock. I wish they wouldn't have said that. And so that's what the word mortify here is not. It's talking a little bit about something differently. We're going to talk a little bit about that, talk about how we can have victory. Romans chapter number 7, I'm going to remind you only of one verse here, and I think this will remind us what we talked about last week. It says in verse number 21, it says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Let me read that one more time. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And we're not going to belabor this point because I know most of you are here last Sunday. And for those that was not or just need a little refresher course, we talked about last week was the flesh, which is also referred to as the old nature, the old man, referred to different things in the Bible. But it's the spiritual side versus the physical side or the fleshly side. That in us, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, what happens? The Holy Spirit of God comes and lives with inside of you. And then you will have a constant war and a constant battle between wanting to do what's right and your old self, your old flesh, wanting to do what's wrong. We showed you last week when it talks about how they war against one another and how this verse is a perfect example. When you want to do good, there is always something that's stopping you. And I don't know about you, maybe this doesn't happen to you, but I know it's a law, the Bible says, is that when you really want to do what's right, and it's this idea of pursuing after God, and you're willing to count all things but loss, and you get up on Monday morning, hey, I'm going to start praying more, I'm going to start reading my Bible more, I'm going to go out and tell somebody about Jesus, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to pursue after God, I'm going to do what it takes, no matter what it is, to live for God. And then Monday morning comes around and something's pulling against you. Something's causing you not to want to get up. Something's causing you not to want to do what you want to do. That's because that's the fleshly side of you. That flesh is something you're going to deal with, but something that God has already dealt with. And that's wonderful. And there's three things I want you to think about this morning in mortifying your flesh. Number one is there's some things you have to know. Number two, there are some things you have to reckon. And number three, there are some things you have to yield. Some things you have to know, some things you have to reckon, and some things you have to yield. Now, use this word mortify. Where do you get that at, Pastor? Well, probably just the next page over in Romans chapter 8. Look at what it says in verse number 13. Romans 8, verse number 13. It says, for if ye live after the flesh, and that's talking about if you're living for yourself, that old nature, that old man, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And it's referring to your spiritual life. It's referring to the fact that you're not going to be able to do anything for God. But if ye, through the Spirit, talking about the spiritual side, do mortify the deeds of the body, referring to the old nature, the flesh, you shall live. Now, this word that Paul's talking about here, the word translated mortify, it indicates a deadening of the power of the flesh. Literally, what he's talking about here is to drain the life out of the flesh through the Holy Spirit's assistance. What the purpose here is that if you live for God and you have the spiritual side and you're living for the spiritual side, that can take away and drain the life out of the fleshly nature. Last week we talked about the instance of two dogs. Whatever dog you fed more, whatever dog you trained properly, if it was in a fight, the dog that you had been working with, the dog that you had been feeding, the dog you had been training, that's what's going to win. And if you have a spiritual side and a fleshly side, whichever one you are feeding more is going to be the more predominant one in your life. You say, Pastor, there's some things that you said that you had to know. And we'll get to that in a second. But this is not the only spot in the Bible where it talks about mortifying your flesh and also talking about being dead. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Listen as I read these verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. They're saying if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be worried about the things down here. You should be looking above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now listen to this next phrase. It says, for ye are dead. And you say, well, how can I set my affections on things above if I'm dead? Well, that's referring to dead to sin and dead to the fleshly way. We'll get back to that in a second. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And here's his word again, mortify. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil covetousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What it is saying, through the spiritual side, you can mortify, you can put to death your flesh. That old nature, that old man, that is always constantly around you. I want you to think just for a second. Maybe of something in your heart, maybe a sin that's been in your life, maybe something that you've been dealing with for a long time. I don't know about you, but many times that's what happens, isn't it? It's something that we struggle with and we just don't seem like we can have victory over. Praise the Lord for the ones we have victory over. Praise the Lord for the things that we used to struggle with and we don't do them anymore. Thankful for that. But I want you to ever get ready to have a word of prayer here in a second. And I want you to ask the Lord to search you today. And I want you to ask him to search you and look for those things in your heart, in your life, that is stopping you from pursuing after God. Those things that maybe you're allowing the flesh to win and you're feeding. Now, it could be something you've been struggling with for a long time. There's a list of different sins here. I'll just read them off. Your list could be something you struggle with for the longest and just can't seem to get victory over. Worry. You say, Pastor, is that a sin? Well, the Bible tells us to be careful for nothing, that we should give everything over to God. Worry. Deception. Lack of endurance. Destructive bodily habits, drugs, drinking, anorexia, bulimia, overeating, anger, a critical spirit, discontent, profanity, other sins with the tongue, bitterness, laziness, rebellion to authorities in your life, greed, materialism, gambling, immoral behavior, such as lustful fantasies, pornography, adultery, homosexuality, those type of things. Of course, that list could be endless. Maybe I didn't even hit your thing. But the main point to keep in mind is that none of these sinful attitudes and activities are outside the scope of being addressed. No matter what you came in today dealing with and struggling with, no matter how long maybe you've struggled with it, there is nothing that God cannot help you overcome today. And that's what God wants you to know. No matter how strong the pull is, no matter how long standing the practice of men, you can find help today in God's word. And I'm going to show you in Romans chapter 6 today that you can have victory. More importantly, I'm going to show you how you can have victory. Last week we showed you, if you're interested in pursuing after God, there is something that stops you. That is your flesh. That is your old nature. That is the old man. How do we mortify the flesh? Or how do we deaden the flesh? How do we take away the effects of the flesh? You say, Pastor, last week the picture you painted was pretty bleak. It was me. Every time I want to do right, every time I want to do good, there's something inside of me that's pulling me back. I want to show you this morning what God did with that. We are crucified with Christ. Our old man has been crucified. And that we no longer are under the control or dominion of sin, and you can have victory this morning. So when we're talking about pursuing after God, there are some things that we're going to have to learn. And one of the things is important for you to understand is you can have victory over sin. Say, Pastor, you've said that before. You've never really explained it all that well how you can. Well, this morning we're going to look at that for a little while. And you can leave this place having victory over something that you've been struggling with for a long time. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And like I said, ask the Lord to help and search you and put his finger on exactly what you need help with today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I am thankful that we are crucified with Christ. I am thankful that the old sin nature, Lord, is dead, and that we are dead according to what the Bible says when it comes to the power of sin. And Lord, I pray you help us today understand this truth. Help us reckon this truth. And Lord, help us to be willing to yield our members to you. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I go any farther, I do want to remind you of something, that if you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no choice. You are still, what the Bible, we're going to see here in a second, a servant to sin. You have the fleshly nature, that's all you have. You do not have the Spirit of God living inside you. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can do that today. You got even a bigger problem than what Christians have when they deal with the flesh. You do not know God. But the Bible says you can enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins, seeing what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, how he died, he was buried, he rose again, and how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. That's the biggest need and biggest problem in your life. Nothing here physical can even compare to that. And in a little while, we're going to have a test. We're going to have invitation time. I encourage you to come forward and let us show you from the Bible how you can be saved. But this message today is mostly aimed to how Christians can mortify their flesh, how Christians can have victory over sin. You say, I'd like to have that victory. That victory begins with what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Let's go ahead, and we're going to read through the whole chapter, but we're going to do it quickly, and then we're going to get to this idea of mortifying the flesh. Chapter number 6, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. One of the things I would encourage you to do is memorize this chapter. Say, memorize a whole chapter of the Bible. Anytime you are confronted with sin, boy, if you can memorize this and have this go through your mind, I don't think you could quote the whole book of the Bible and still whole chapter of the Bible and still want to sin. I think this could give you a real victory here. Let's look here, Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. In those first 12 verses, we see that we are dead and crucified. Our old man is crucified with him in verse number 6. Verse number 11, we see what we're supposed to do is reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin. And in verse number 12, you are not supposed to let sin reign in your mortal body. Sin should not have a control and a heart have a foothold in your life. As a Christian and as a believer, the Bible teaches us that we are dead to that sin and we do not need to obey it and we should not obey it. Verse 13, this is what we need to yield. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Once again, sin is not a ruler of yours, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Praise the Lord. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What you use your body and what you obey with your body, that is what you're servant of. One of righteousness unto God, or one of sin unto the devil. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from that former doctrine which was delivered you. He's saying, you used to be a servant of sin, but when you obeyed from your heart, which meant that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the way, the doctrine that was given unto them, they were delivered from that. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have had your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's a great chapter of the Bible. Hopefully we can walk away some things to help us to take from here. Look at verse number 22. What does it say? But now being made free from sin. I don't know about you, but that's good. Free from sin. We are made free from sin. We no longer have to obey the pull and go our own way. How is that possible? Paul's teaching us. First thing I want you to understand, there are some things you have to know. What do you have to know? Look here once again in verse number 3 and 4. It talks about what God wants us to know. Know ye not. And he wants us to know some things. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now, this type of baptism is not talking about what we do up there. That what we do up there is a public example of what, for you that don't know, the wall goes back and there's baptistry back there. That's what we baptize at. That's not what it's talking about then. What it's talking about here is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Once you get saved, you're baptized into the body of Christ. And when you're baptized into the body of Christ, at that moment of salvation, we are placed in this body. The implications for us as believers are staggering. We are recipients of every benefit of his death, his burial, and resurrection. He considers it as and wants us to consider us the same way. This means when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose again, we rose again to walk in newness of life. And that's when you get here and you see in verse when it says, know you not. Also in verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man has crucified him. This identification with Christ in this way with our earthly bodies required us to understand that we do not have to serve sin. That's at the end of verse number 6, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What God wants us to understand, what he wants us to know, is that we've been crucified with Christ. Say, what's the big deal about that? When you think about our old flesh and nature, everything wicked about us, everything bad we've ever done, anything bad we're going to do, all those things when we're trying to do right and trying to do what's best, what did God do with that? He nailed that to a cross. I tell you, if you can just get a picture and a glimpse of Jesus Christ dying on that cross and seeing that he died for you and also seeing yourself crucified up there, that's where your sin nature is. It is when we go and hug it, and it is when we go back to that, and it is when we go back and want to be a part of that, that's when we give in to sin. Think about this illustration. I heard this story one time. Young guy, you know how young preacher boys are? Sometimes they ask weird questions. You know, the only more peculiar person besides a young preacher boy is an old man of God. They're a little peculiar. They're great. He comes and asks this old man of God and says, what does it mean to be dead? And he said to this guy, okay, I want you to go. He says, you know Brother Thomas? He says, yes. He died last week. He says, I want you to go to Brother Thomas's grave, and I want you to go over there, and I want you to say all these bad things about him. He said, I want you to just go over there and do everything you can, say all the bad things you know about him, and just be mean. He goes over there. And, of course, a young preacher boy is going to always listen to the old man of God. And he goes over there, and he just goes over there, and he just lays into him, talking about all the bad things he ever did and all these things. He goes back to the old man. The old man says, did you do it? He said, yes. What did he say? He said, he didn't say anything. And the old man of God says to the young guy, he says, now I want you to go back, and I want you to say all the good things you know about him. Praise him up and down. Do everything you can. And young preacher boy goes back And he starts saying all these wonderful things out there, complimenting. He spends a little bit longer because he felt bad at all those bad things he said. And he goes back to the old man of God, and the old man of God looks at him and says, "What do you say this time?" Didn't say a word. You want to know why? He says, "Dead people don't respond." And in our lives, what we need to understand is that we don't need to respond to the praise. We don't need to respond to the criticism. We are dead to sin. We do not have to go back to that. Now, you think you can put it this way. Say if you rent. I don't know how many of you rent a house. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, first of the month, a guy comes and knocks on your door. I know you say, "I send a check." Well, way back when, they used to come and knock on your door and say, "Hey, it's time for the first of the month." You say, "Mr. Don owns a house." He comes by each month and says he wants his $500 he owes you. You owe him. Each month, you pay the $500. Why is that? Because you're bound to him. He owns the house. It's his. And he pays $500 each month. And say that Mr. Don takes and sells his house to Mr. Armstrong. And Mr. Don sells the house to Mr. Armstrong, and no longer are you owing Mr. Don anything. You owe Mr. Armstrong $500 a month. But the first of next month, Mr. Don comes to the door and says, "Hey, I want my money." Now, it's your choice if you want to pay Mr. Don the money, but that's not going to pay your debt, is it? Why is it? Who owns the house? It's Mr. Armstrong. See, Mr. Don, you don't have to pay him. You do not have to sin. There's been a new owner in your life. No longer are you under the bondage of the sin. Now you are freed from that sin. And it is only when you go back to that sin, it is only when you are willing to continue on paying that sin, that's when you sin. It's when you give in to it. You are no longer obligated to your flesh anymore. You are no longer obligated to your old nature anymore. The Bible teaches us that you used to be a servant of sin. If you look in verse number 20, it says, "For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." There was no righteousness. You did not owe God anything. You were unrighteous. You did what you wanted. Your flesh is contrary to God. You lived for yourself, and you're going to pay for that penalty someday because of your sin. But when you became a Christian, what it says in verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God," you no longer are responsible to that old nature anymore. Means you don't have to pay the Mr. Dons of the world. You don't have to give in to the sins of the world anymore. You've been freed from that. No longer do you have dominion. Sin no longer has dominion on you. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is there something you need to know. Say, "What do I need to know, Pastor?" You need to know that you are dead to sin. I mean, you are dead, the Bible says. You can mortify your deeds. You can mortify your flesh. But the important thing for you to understand, as the Bible tells us over and over, that you are dead. Think about Colossians 3:3 says you are dead. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "We being dead." John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." We need to know something, and we need to understand, when did you die? It's not something you had to do. It's already been done for you. You died with Jesus Christ on the cross. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Once you grab a hold of that and you understand that you do not have to sin. You were crucified with Christ, and that's where your dead, that's where your old man's at. It's when you allow that old man's pull and drag in your life is when you sinned. Second thing, there's some things you have to reckon. Look at verse number 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Knowing is not enough. You know, you go out there and you get in your car, and you start driving down the road, and you know that to step on the brakes is going to stop the car. But if you're driving down the road and somebody's in front of you and they stop at the stoplight, and you know that if you stepped on the brake, guess what? The car was going to stop. But if you don't step on the brake, what's going to happen? You're going to hit the car in front of you. Now, what the Bible's saying is to really truly mortify the flesh, to really truly have victory over this, and I know this is a little bit deeper than maybe we usually go on Sunday mornings, but it's something that can transform your life if you understand this. You're dead to that sin. You've been crucified with Christ. That's when you died. Christ took care of that. You're no longer under that penalty. You're no longer under that dominion. You can have victory today, no matter what the sin is, but you're going to have to learn how to reckon yourself dead to that sin. You're going to have to learn that it's not knowing it, is knowing is not enough, but instead you're going to have to put your foot on the brake for it to stop. Paul finishes by telling us the facts that we need to know about the union with Christ and begins with explaining is, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead. Paul saying, God knows you have been free from the requirements to obey indwelling sin. Now you need to take it personally. God has taken this and he says, you no longer have to obey that indwelling sin. Quit living like you have to. So many of us, we come to this point and says, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I see what the Bible says. It says in verse number 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He says, I don't get it. The pull of sin is so strong in my life, there's no way I can have victory. It just does not feel like I can have victory. We need to understand, if we paid the old landlord, it's our choice. We can have victory. When we've gone used to the sin, maybe we've grown used to its privileges. But you know what? If we are willing to reckon ourselves dead, we can have victory. We reckon things every day. You say, oh, I'm not good at reckoning things. You reckon things every day. You look at a driver's, you look at a speed limit out there. You see the speed limit says 55 miles an hour. And when you're going down the road, you reckon, you say, you know what? That speed limit is right. That speed limit is there because the government has put it there. I'm going to agree with that speed limit, and I'm going to go 55 miles an hour. But it's when you choose to say, I don't think that speed limit is fair. I don't think that speed limit is right. I'm going to do my own speed. What do you have to do then? You have to answer to the punishment of getting a speeding ticket. Here, just last week, I was driving. I have not had a speed. There is no speeding tickets ever in my life that count it. I had when I was younger. It got they put me on probation and got a sponge, perfect driving record. You know what happened last week? I got caught in a speeding trap. You know that? I was speeding. I did not see the speed limit go from 55 to 45. For a 1 mile period, they went from 55 to 45. I did not realize that. And I had reckoned in my mind that going a certain speed limit, a few miles over the speed limit, it was okay because of the fact that I was going with the flow of traffic and I was just doing what I thought was okay. And when it went down 10 underneath that, the police officer pulled me over and said, I said to him, I didn't see that the speed limit dropped down to 45. He says, well, obviously you did because you know how fast it was. And he was being a little smart with me. And I said, sir, when you pulled me over, I looked at my GPS and it told me 45. He says, how long ago did it change? He says, you know, you saw where I was sitting, right? He says, a little bit less than half a mile before that it changed. And I was sitting on the side of the road, and I could see where it turned to 55. It had to only be a mile that it changed, but it was my own fault because I reckoned in my heart and my mind that I would be just fine going a little bit over the speed limit. He probably wouldn't have pulled me over for just going 10 miles over the speed limit. It was because I had reckoned in myself that, hey, it's okay to go a couple miles over the speed limit. You know what? I had to own up to that. Now I have a ticket on my driving record. Isn't that horrible? That's just crazy. And most of you people have plenty of tickets. So don't even look in all high and mighty with me. But we need to understand that we need to reckon for ourselves that we're dead. You may protest that you don't feel like you're free. You may protest that the sinful impulses arise in your heart. You may feel like you have to obey them. But the truth is, if you see and have faith in the Word of God and God says that this thing is true, you can reckon yourself dead. It's just whether it's a faith thing. Do you believe it? If the Bible says it right here, this chapter in the Bible teaches us this truth. We've been crucified with Christ, and because we're crucified with Christ, we are dead from sin. We no longer have, the sin no longer has dominion over us. It doesn't matter what we feel like. God be true and everybody else be a liar. It is the truth here. You can have victory over it. You say, Pastor, you don't know how strong the pull is. I do know how strong the pull is. I know how hard it is. But do you believe what the Bible says? The Bible says you can have victory. The Bible says that you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You are allowing that sin to stay. God is saying you can be freed from that sin. God is saying you do not have to obey that sin. God is saying you do not have to pay that to that sin anymore. You're freed from it. It's when you choose to go back. Now, I know it's tough. If you've been doing something for a long time, it's not going to be easy to get it over it. It's sort of like when you're canoeing with the current. You're just canoeing along. You're just going right along with the current. But when you decide to change and repent of that sin, and you decide to change and go the other way, does that mean the current's going to change too? No. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But God says that you have the power to do it inside of Him. You have the ability to be freed from that sin. The Bible says you can reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto that sin. The third thing I want you to see. Not only do you need to know some things, you need to know that you're dead. You need to know that you've been crucified with Christ, that no longer does sin have dominion over you. And you take that truth and you reckon in your heart. When you're confronted with that sin, you pray and say, Lord, I need your help here. I'm reckoning myself dead. I'm reading this verse and saying that I do not have to sin, that sin does not have the dominion over me. Verse 22 says that I've been made free from that sin. I do not have to do that. And the Holy Spirit of God will help you. Third thing is, we have to yield some things. Not only do we have to know some things, not only do we have to reckon some things, we have to yield some things. And here's where most Christians struggle with. This is where most people fall off the bandwagon when it comes to this. They get to the point that says, I cannot stop sinning. You can't. But you just have to be willing to yield something. You're going to have to be willing to yield your members, your life, your feelings, your emotion, your body. Look what it says in verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but ye yield yourselves unto God as those that are members of instruments of righteousness alive, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You might say, Pastor, I'm not any good at yielding. Well, the truth is, you're really good at yielding. You've been doing it all your life. You're either yielding one way or yielding another way. Verse number 13 tells us we're either using our body for righteousness or we're using our body for evil. And you've been yielding your body, you've just been yielding it the wrong way. We're skilled at yielding our body, or members of instruments, or weapons of unrighteousness unto sin. But therefore, we know what it is like to be a servant of sin. And verse number 17 says we were a servant of sin. And Paul reminds us that if we will yield ourselves to our master, which is Jesus Christ, which it should be, we can yield our lives and our bodies. So at this point, the decision about how we will respond to the pull of the flesh is this. Am I going to be obedient or not? Am I going to obey the flesh, or am I going to deny myself? Am I going to mortify the flesh or indulge the flesh? Are we going to walk after the flesh or walk after the spirits? Are we going to obey God, or are we going to obey dwelling sin? You know, lots of us like to think that we're the victim. When it comes to our sin, we like to think, oh, my flesh is so bad and so horrible and so wrong, I can't do anything to help it. This chapter tells us that we're just disobeying God. Don't obey the flesh. We like to think that in this, or our sin, we've been defeated, that we have no other choice. But the humbling reality is that all we have been is disobedient. Get this, understand this, because this is the point where you can reckon yourself dead if you choose to. But if you choose not to take your body and yield it to those things of the flesh, yield it to those things that are wrong, it is simply a problem of you saying, I'm going to be disobedient. You say, Pastor, you don't know how hard it is. You don't know how tough it is. I've been defeated. I've been taken advantage of by the devil. Well, this chapter tells us that we can take our body and we can yield our body to good, or we can yield our body to this flesh and do all the wicked things. There's two choices on the shelf. We can obey God, or we can obey self. And so when we take our body and say, I'm going to live for myself, that's when we give to the flesh. You say, Pastor, the Christian life is too complicated. And I'll be honest with you, it might be a little complicated. Christian life has never really ever been said it's going to be easy. But when you live for God, He says His yoke is easy. He's talking about when you choose to live for Him, choose to do what's right, it's going to be easy serving the Lord once you make that commitment, once you die to the flesh and you choose to live for Him, that His yoke is much easier than the yoke of sin is. But it's not really super complicated. It's a life full of little decisions. It's a life of getting up tomorrow or leaving this church today and saying, I'm going to yield my body to do what's right. You come across that first decision. You get in the car. Maybe your wife took too long out because she wanted to talk too much. be honest with you, more men talk longer than women around here. But you can say, and you got a choice when you sit in the car and you got there and the wife's coming out, you got a choice. Am I going to treat her like Christ treats the church? Am I going to be loving to her? Am I going to be kind to her? Or am I going to be smart and say, well, what were you and your buddy gossiping about? Now, what are you going to do? It's a bunch of little decisions. What is it that I'm going to do? Am I going to choose to live for God little by little? See, that's what yielding is. When you come up against that next big thing. I know addictions are real. Don't get me wrong. I understand. It hurts when you had to pull yourself away from the flesh. You've been going against a current for so long, and you've been struggling with bitterness maybe, a bad habit maybe, whatever. But you know what the Bible is saying here? It teaches us here, if we'll have faith in the Bible, is that we've been freed from that sin, that dominion of that sin, we are allowing that in our lives, and that we can have victory over it. We do not have to be a servant of that sin anymore. And you can leave this place today having victory if you will just reckon yourself dead. And little by little, each time you go out, and like I said, it could be dealing with bitterness, it could be drinking. You know, you just say no the first time, and you say no the second time, and you say no the third time. And as you yield your body to righteousness, that pool is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. The flesh is something that's been conquered for us already. We have to be willing to reckon it dead. We're the ones that allow it to come back in our lives. So we don't obey the flesh. Don't miss the point here. Paul does not describe some long series of therapy steps. All he does is he's saying, you got yourself in this mess by obeying your flesh and denying God. The only way you can get back to God is by denying your flesh and obeying him. You got yourself in this mess by denying God and obeying your flesh. All you need to do now is obey God and deny your flesh. Paul is clear here. The flesh can be denied, and it must be denied if you really, truly want to pursue after God. The important issue that we see here is that we often call it a lack of discipline, but it really is a lack of obedience. So I'm just not disciplined enough. No, you're just not obedient enough. And that it preaches to me just as well as it preaches to you guys. I have a flesh just like everyone else does. We all have struggles. We all have things that we deal with. But it's whether or not we're going to take our body and yield it to members of righteousness. His Holy Spirit convicts us and teaches us when we sin, and the choice is ours whether or not we're going to obey. If you've been dealing with something for years, I probably wouldn't have to go around the room and say, what is that one thing? You probably know that's the thing that I've dealt with for years, and I just can't get victory. The Holy Spirit of God's been convicting you for a long time. Once heard a story, a guy came in for a counseling session with the pastor. He says, Pastor, I'm having a hard time. I just cannot get up in the morning. I'm getting in trouble at work. I got written up at work. He said, I'm a half hour late every day. He says, I hit my alarm. Alarm's set for 6:30. I get up at 6:30. I walk across the room. He says, I even moved my alarm all the way across the room, so I had to get up, get out of bed, turn it off. And he says, but every single day, I return back to bed and sleep for another half hour. And it makes me a half hour late every single day. You know what the pastor said? He said, if I came to your house tomorrow morning, woke you up, and told you to get up out of bed, and stayed there with you, would you stay? He says, if you would do that for me, he says, I wouldn't go back to bed. I'd have somebody there helping me. And you know what he said? The pastor says, you know what? You're saying that you want to listen to me more than the Holy Spirit of God. Because he says, every time you go from that alarm clock back to your bed, you probably feel a conviction of God on you. He's like, I do. I feel horrible every single step of the way. He says, but I just feel like I have to go back to bed. He says, it's not about being obedient to me. He says, it's when you decide I'm going to be obedient to God. That's when your flesh will die. That's when your pull will get weaker and weaker. That's when you can mortify the flesh. You can pull that drawing card out. Last but not least, don't feed the flesh. And that same story talked about why that guy was late every day is because he would stay up late and he would watch movies that would kill, you know, build up his flesh. And it talks about how he would give to himself all day long because he worked so hard and did all these different things. And when it came time for him to get up, he just had no power in the spiritual side because he had been feeding the flesh for so long. Don't make provision. Don't feed your flesh. Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot expect to allow the flesh to be fed over and over and over and then think you're going to live a spiritual life. Just doesn't happen. Stop giving to it and giving in and giving in. Stop being around the things that you struggle with. Exercise self-denial by saying no to the promptings of the flesh, but also don't allow anything to feed the flesh by making it stronger. Every time you feed one area in your life, it makes it harder to say no to the other area. So the more you read your Bible, the more you pray, the more you think of spiritual things, the harder and harder is it going to be hard to say no to God. It's pull and control will get stronger. Now, there's a phenomenon. There's many churches that are going on today, and they're preaching these things, and they're saying these things, is that go ahead and live whatever way you want. It won't bother you. You can live like the world. You have Christian liberty. You don't have to live a disciplined life. You don't have to have self-denial. You know what? All those different things, you know what they teach you? Feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. There's no way you can live spiritually that way. It just doesn't happen. And you're here this morning, and it's because you come to a church, you hear the preaching of the Word of God. And the truth of it is, you can have victory in your Christian life. You've been crucified with Christ. You can have victory over this. You do not have to leave this place still sinning, still struggling with that one sin. It says you're freed from it. You don't have sin does not have a dominion on you. You can come and you can reckon yourself dead and get up and never do that sin again by the power of God. But you got to be obedient. There's some things you got to know. And that first important thing, if you can get this in your heart and mind and walk away, and if you haven't learned anything about anything else this morning, just learn this. You are dead in Christ. You've been crucified with him. God took our old nature. It was crucified up there on the cross, that ugly, disgusting thing that causes us to do wrong. It's been crucified. It's when we go to that. It's when we give in to that. You can reckon yourself dead. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It hurts to have things pulled away. You know, when you've been giving your flesh for so long, it's like ripping it away. You had to rip away from it. It's never going to be easy. But you can reckon yourself to be dead. But what you have to do is, step by step, yield your life, little by little, to God. Step by step. You say, Pastor, I've done it before. You know what? You become disobedient before too then. Because the Bible says you can have victory. The Bible says you are freed from it already. You choose to put yourself there. It's not about living under a defeat. It's not about living an undisciplined life. It's about living a disobedient life. And you need to yield, begin yielding your members. And I think that yield will start today. It could start around this altar saying, you know what? I'm leaving it here. And then when you get up, you make a decision to live for him. You walk out the door, you continue to yield your body. You choose to do what you want to do. You choose whether or not you want to live. Romans chapter 6 teaches us we can mortify our flesh. We can take away the power of the flesh that is in us. It'll always be there. We'll always have to deal with it. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter number 7, that great Apostle Paul, he was the one saying, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He was the one saying, the things when I want to do what I'm supposed to do, I never do that. The things I'm not supposed to do, those are the things I do. I struggle with this still. But in Romans chapter 6, it taught us you can have victory. This morning, is there something that you need to have victory in? Is there something you need to have victory with? God says that you are crucified with Christ and you can have victory over that sin, whatever it is. If you really want to pursue after God, you have to realize you have to set things aside. If you're going to do it with your whole heart, you have to realize what is stopping me from pursuing after God? It's my flesh. Then how do I mortify my flesh? There's some things you got to know. There's some things you got to reckon. And there's some things you got to yield. You can have victory with God's help. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed.